You may remember last April Fool's when I had just returned from the Holy Land with several of our church members, and someone from the Kansas Department of, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation and Homeland Security called me and told me that we had had some sort of run-in with a known terror suspect, and I totally flushed white and became afraid, and I, after 20 minutes of being led down this path, found out that it was all a joke, that Paul's sister had played this agent on the phone. Well, the rest of the story has begun, and when Paul returned this week from Tbilisi and he had met Montezuma, someone from the health department called him with concerns about whether he might have had contact with someone who had Ebola. And when he, after 10 minutes of that conversation, said, "I would refer you to my physician who has talked with me," the person from the health department said, "And I would refer you to the person whose office is next to you and whom I call Mom."
Oh, it's on.
It has only begun. I often hear about people who are talking about times when they were young and Sunday was a different kind of experience than it is today. The stores were closed. No soccer or baseball leagues scheduled their games on Sundays. Extended families enjoyed scrumptious meals together. Everyone wore their finest clothes to church. It was a day to rest and rejuvenate. Remember? But what I hear underneath that nostalgia is something much bigger than the stores being closed and having roast for lunch. It's a yearning for simplicity and for the rest one day a week, just to be. One day a month, even, we would take. A sense of peace and quiet, of restful attitudes and calming experiences. We all need a Sabbath to rest. And it's not an old-fashioned, days-gone-by idea. In fact, it's a real need in our lives, a requirement of human beings, a spiritual rest, and a break from the hectic, chaotic lives we lead. As one theologian wrote, "The Sabbath is the most precious resource of life in a world of death." The Hebrew word, Sabbath, literally means cessation. And to fully understand it, we must understand the way that the Hebrews thought about days. Now, American days often start off with the alarm clock ripping through the pre-dawn darkness, and the day ends when we flip off the light switch and go to bed. But when we read the introduction of a Sabbath rest on the first creation story, the Hebrew phrase, "evening and morning, one day," is used. So there's a different sort of sense to this kind of timekeeping. Evening is the beginning of the day. We go to sleep, and God's creative work begins while we are resting. We wake into a world we did not create, and we live into a grace we did not earn. So think about it this way. Evening. God begins without our help, thanks be to God, God's creative day. And morning, God calls us to get up, to enjoy and to share and develop the work that God has started. We prepare for sleep, not with a feeling of exhausted frustration from a long day, because that we know there's so much left undone and unfinished, but instead we go to bed with expectancy. The day is about to begin, and I get to sleep. So to observe the Sabbath is to understand this different sort of rhythm to days. To observe the Sabbath, Marva Davis says that this is a four-dimensional process: ceasing, resting, embracing, and feasting. Now, they all may happen simultaneously, but to understand them, let's take them each separately. To cease on the Sabbath is to cease work, to cease productivity, to cease even thinking about what we're going to do. It's a time to throw away the job list and the honeydews and enter into an entirely different sort of existence. Exodus 20, 8 to 11 is part of the Ten Commandments, and it reads, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you will labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." So we cease from our work in the week, and we are freed from society's pressure to accomplish and to achieve. When we celebrate the Sabbath, we join with a generation of believers who set aside a day to remember that we are precious and honored in God's sight. We are loved, profoundly loved, and not because of what we do. But there's more to this ceasing, because besides ceasing work and the need to be productive, we also, and this is the hardest part, we set aside the worries about our doing. We cease stressing out, being anxious, trying to hold on to all the things in our busy lives. We cease all the ways that we have fallen into patterns of the world and away from God. As Walter Brueggemann said, Sabbath is not about worship. It's about work stoppage. It's about withdrawal from the anxiety system of Pharaoh, the refusal to let one's life be defined by production and consumption and the endless pursuit of well-being. Now, I know many people like to run away for the weekend. They go to the lake or to camp or play golf. They want to get away from it all. But the ironic thing is that they aren't taking a Sabbath at all. These attempts to run away from it all usually aren't successful, because most of us who are trying to run away from the pressures of our lives aren't really doing anything to lessen the burden come Monday. But to celebrate the Sabbath, we actually must cease letting the pressures have a hold on us. So that's ceasing. The second is resting. And while it's rest we're talking about, and it might include a sacred Sabbath nap, one of my favorite things, it also includes emotional, psychological, and social rest. Emotional healing is given in Sabbath rest because it's set aside for deepening our relationship with God. And so the day gives us the silence to discover who we are. Jesus retaught his disciples what the Sabbath meant, that it wasn't about legally shutting everything down and stopping work, but rather it was about this kind of resting. And he said, "The Sabbath was made for humans and not humans for the Sabbath." In other words, God's gift to us is time to rest and rejuvenate. Now, the ancient Mishnah teaches that the Sabbath law prohibited anyone from carrying any kind of burden in a public place, including a weapon. You couldn't carry it on a Sabbath. And then the Christian church in the Middle Ages established what they called the truce of God. And it prohibited fighting or warring on festival days and on Sabbath days. So Sabbath keeping for people increased personal gentleness and even the dismantling of our own power. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." So Sabbath rest includes this sort of harmony with other people, the absence of strife, of fighting, of fear, and of distrust. Sabbath keeping also sometimes feels a little bit like an interruption. But it is about ceasing our doing, and it's about being. The Bible tells a story about when the Hebrews were in Egypt, and they had gone 400 years without a vacation. Now, I think that sets some sort of record. Any of you gone beyond 400 years without a day off? Never a day off in all that time. And the consequence of this was that they were no longer considered persons. They were considered slaves, hands and feet, work units, productive and purposeful. So they were no longer persons who were created in the image of God, but they were actually equipment for making bricks and creating pyramids. They were slaves because they didn't have any time to just cease activity and recreate. So the second is rest. The third element of Sabbath rest is embracing. Now, this would be Eric's favorite thing, and I don't mean that the way it came out. When we were dating, my family was very fundamentalist, conservative Christian, and he came over on a Sunday afternoon and wanted to take me out for ice cream. My mother said, "Absolutely not." And he wondered why, if she didn't like him or what. I mean, it was mid-afternoon, there was nothing going on, it was a Sunday. She said, "We don't do things that cause other people to work on the Sabbath, and therefore you have to stay home and you cannot go out for ice cream. Now you can eat ice cream here." That was not Eric's favorite idea, we'll tell you. So this third idea is embracing, and what that means is that we cease all the pressure of the world and we start embracing new things in our lives. So instead of just stopping and resting, there are things that we actually pick up. We embrace God's value of generosity and of shalom. We embrace a whole new set of values: time instead of space, people instead of things, giving of ourselves instead of requiring, rest instead of production. So this embracing of Sabbath is a result of our ceasing. Because when we cease productivity, we have a sense that life is different. It's whole, and it's revived, and it's spiritual, and we have healthy bodies and minds. So we're much able, when we embrace what God is doing on Sabbath, then we are much better able to produce on other days. So Sabbath is not just a time to cease. It's not a time of boredom. It's not a time to watch TV, but instead it's embracing our spiritual side and giving ourselves spiritual renewal. It's time to mend our lives and restore our souls. So one of my favorite Sabbath activities is cross-stitching. Now, I recently saw an advertisement for a t-shirt, and it said, "I cross-stitch so I don't shoot people." And when I saw it, I laughed out loud because that's it exactly. Some of you know this yourselves, because when I stitch, I integrate the activities and the frustrations of the day, and I pull the needle in and out of the fabric as I process and I think, and then I bless the people and the day. It calms me, so you don't have to worry about guns in the pulpit. That's the embracing of something that restores your soul. It isn't stitching for everyone, I know, but you all know what I mean. Okay, the final element of Sabbath keeping is feasting. Whew, yes! And food is a vital element to this feast, but Sabbath feasting also includes feasting on wonderful things like music, like beauty, like affection and friendship. So Sabbath feasting, we fill our lives with beauty and with love and with good things, and we feast on those things in a way that builds us up. We also feast on intimacy with God in the creation, in music, in folk dance, in food, and intimacy with our friends and family. Sabbath keeping offers us time with loved ones to deepen our relationships, and it's a day of intentionality about building relationships and enjoying each other. So we feast in every aspect of our being, the physical, the intellectual, the social, the emotional, the spiritual, and we feast on Sabbath with music and beauty, food, and affection. So worship here is the ultimate feast, and it's time that we come together to bring Sabbath into our lives, to pray, to meditate, to confess, to be filled with God's Spirit. And if you miss worship, if you're like me, you might be hungry the whole rest of the week. Isaac Pennington said that people who are gathered for genuine worship are like a heap of fresh and burning coals warming each other as a great strength, freshness, and vigor of life as it flows through us all. You didn't know you were a heap of burning coals warming each other, did you? So these are the four elements of Sabbath keeping: ceasing, resting, embracing, and feasting. And that's what makes a Sabbath day holy. Ceasing deepens our repentance for the many ways that we fail to trust God and to create our own future. Resting strengthens our faith in God's totality of grace. Embracing invites us to take the truths of our faith and apply them to our values and our lifestyles. And feasting heightens our sense of hope and gives us a taste of God's love. Let me close with a simple prayer by Avery Brooke. O God of the Sabbath, I work too much. Work is good and necessary, and I thank you for it. But I need to play more. I need to rest and relax, to walk and to run, to see my friends and enjoy myself. And so remind me, O God, to take time off and help me to not feel guilty when I do. Amen. As we come to the end of our time together, I invite you to stand as you're able and sing the choral benediction. And so go out this afternoon and enjoy yourselves. No guilt, no pressure, nothing to accomplish. Simply to rest and to be in God. Amen.